Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siskin.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is what I...
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
Time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Put the fucking lotion in the bag!
An excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to what is the third week of the 2015 Halloween Spooktacular. And that's right, gang. As is, I think, kind of like tradition now here on the WHM Spooktacular, it's franchise time. And it's double franchise time.
Well, the good thing is it's not a franchise without its star. It's
right.
A franchise with too many stars, really.
Yeah, it's a night of too many stars.
See, the thing is, someone should have said no. You remember how recently McDonald's and Burger King approached McDonald's, mm-hmm. like, hey, let's do a collaboration. And
Wait, is that a truth story?
I believe it is. And
yeah,
then
is.
McDonald's was like, no.
No, I will not make out with you.
No, McDonald's was probably like, they're the ones that put out the gay burger. No thanks, Burger King.
It was something like a McWhopper or whatever.
Oh, yeah. McWhopper.
You know, we're going to get letters. Someone's going to complain that I got it wrong. It was probably the big whatever.
It was probably the big whatever.
New burger from McDonald's and its joint partner Burger King. The McWhatever.
This is sort of the horror film whatever.
Yeah, yes. It is. And let me say right up front, full disclosure to our fans, I'm sorry, guys. I saw this twice in theaters.
Oof.
I owned it on DVD and in a big old collector's edition, like mm-hmm. three-discer. And now I own it on Blu-ray because I got that Crystal Lake box set, dude.
I have it on Blu-ray, too, now because of that.
I know. Doesn't it just burn your ass? That's just sitting in your house every day.
It's weird that it's part of the Jason box set, because this is not a Jason movie. It's
no,
a Freddy movie,
yeah.
And like, although Freddy only does have one kill, so Jason's doing all the grunt work.
Right. As you'd imagine this, like, horror relationship would go. Jason is definitely the muscle. Freddy's
sure.
the brains. By the way, did we mention it's Freddy versus Jason?
Sure.
I don't know. Whatever.
2003.
You saw it when you downloaded it. Yes, 2003, directed by Ronnie Yu. Excuse me, continue. Got to get the facts out there, Steve.
Here's a question. I'll start off.
Yeah.
Who would you, I mean, I think it's an easy one. Who would you rather get killed by, Freddy or Jason?
Jason.
Jason.
A thousand
yeah.
times
yeah,
Jason.
It's just so
what
much
would
quick.
I what would I rather watch,
yeah.
Jason?
Yeah. No, you're totally
right. What would I rather think about, Jason?
And no, I'll tell you why. Because it's just going to be someone coming up and killing me. And
yep.
I don't have to hear an annoying joke beforehand.
Yeah, you
beforehand.
Know what? I don't need the showboating, buddy. You know, just smash me up and slit me apart.
Well, that's what I appreciate, too. It's quick. He's just going to come. It's almost yeah. like, look, he kind of comes up to you silently. He's like, look, buddy, I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. I got to do this thing.
Yep.
It's super quick. I'm not going to make a joke. I'm not going to turn you into a cockroach. I'm not going to do anything stupid like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn into a cockroach to kill you. Like, it's just, oh, God, this dream stuff. Oof.
It's so stupid. And I'll tell you, that's something that, like, really amped up in those sequels. The yeah. friggin' comedy
yeah.
that this guy's spewing out. The one-liners. Like, you watch that first Wes Craven classic. The one-liners are there-ish, but it's still scary. I mean, by the end of these sequels, Freddy Krueger is an absolute joke, and yeah. it's really unfortunate. Like, those first two, and I'll give it three to Dream Warriors also.
Yeah.
He's still fairly menacing. But, like, by the time you get to this, which is, by the way, the official last appearance of Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger, it's just so insufferable, the one-liners.
It's a nightmare. It's actually...
Ooh.
Yeah. This was a castaway from development hell, right? It made it through.
I was going to say, I don't remember, Steve, what you said you followed through development hell on an episode.
Oh, I forget. It must have had somebody in a cape in it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I followed this through development hell. I followed this through fan scripts. I read so many scripts for this movie. Dude, the early days of like AOL, the horror community on there was ripe with Freddy versus Jason fan scripts.
Let me ask you something about those scripts.
Sure.
Were they, at any point in those, were they kissing? I heard that a lot of these fan scripts, they like to kiss.
I didn't stumble across any slash scripts, but I'm sure they're out there. Yeah. No, it was always, and here's the thing, it's always this. It starts with two of them, because that's like, it was all ignited, like we said, by Jason Goes to Hell when the glove pulled the mask down.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, this movie comes out. But in the interim, it was a lot of like, it's the two of them, but then Michael Myers shows up, and Leatherface, and Pinhead, and it's just a mad monster party.
Nope.
And it's so terrible.
All right, around the horn, who would you rather have sex with, Freddy versus Jason?
Oh.
That's
interesting.
Jason, more cushion for the pushing?
He's a little, he's definitely quiet. He's the strong, silent type, but I think he smells worse. He smells like a bog. Yeah. That's a problem for me.
So, what would you rather fuck, a bog or a thing of burnt Chinese spare ribs?
Well, also, top or bottom, we got to figure this out.
Well, I mean, Jason's the top for sure.
So,
Freddie, I think, is verse, I'll be honest. You can go both ways?
Sure. So, wait, if I'm a bottom and I pick Jason. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, if I pick Jason, I'm a bottom.
Yeah, sure.
And then, jeez, man.
But look at the stature of Jason, though, man. That's got to be a power bottom if I ever saw one.
You're right. I think we can make it work. You know, I mean, all my instinct says no, but I'm going to say Jason again.
You got to go with your heart with this one, man.
Again, it's something where I'd want no talking. I don't need Fred Krueger making jokes through our lovemaking.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really
I'm glad you're making love to Freddy Krueger, too, by the way.
But here's the problem with this scenario.
Uh-huh. He's not taking the gloves off?
Well, no. Jason can't really consent because of his mental
issues. Oh, yeah.
But, and then I think Freddy Krueger consents too much. I don't. That kind of creeps me out even more.
Freddy Krueger is an overt rapist in almost all of these movies.
That's actually a good place to start. Like, actually talk about stuff and not gross people out.
But you didn't say what you would do.
Yeah, we're gonna set Freddy. It up and sneak out the door.
Oh, I'm a Jason. I'm gonna go Jason all the way. I don't need the hat. I don't. You know.
You know. Maybe both of us. We could figure that out.
Dude, do you think that's a thing someone would say to him? Was like, no, keep the hat on.
Yeah,
glove, please take off.
Oh, no, I'm definitely, by the way, Jason better keep that fucking hockey mask on. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I don't need that shit.
I think we just wrote our own fan script.
We did. Yeah,
pretty much.
Upload it to AOL.
I think it's Tumblr these days, Eric.
Upload it to Tumblrs.
Here's the question.
Yes.
Freddie was a child molester / murderer, right?
Murderer first, and then possible molester. I don't know where that landed.
Are you? Wait. So he did it to dead kids? He killed the kids.
No.
So the no. So then you were wrong. No. It was a molester then.
No, I'm saying, as far as the movies tell you, he was definitely killing kids.
Oh, so he was primarily kills kids. Sometimes he diddles them.
Yeah, I don't know where the movies land on molesting, but murder, he's definitely a child murderer.
But the weird thing is, so here you are. I mean, you read stuff about murderers all the time. They always have their types, right? It's like,
you read stuff about murderers all the time.
I guess.
I don't.
Everybody, everybody does one kind of thing.
Right.
That, you know, you got your predilections, whatever. Why does he go from little kids to teenagers? You know what I mean? Like, they always portray him as always killing little children, and like it's always little girls on jump ropes, and then it's like, well, that's just kind of gross.
I think it's because he wants to get Jason involved in this, right?
Martin Cinemax is like, no, you gotta bump it up.
Yeah, no. I can't show any of that, but showing some naked girls getting killed.
It's gotta be above board. This is Cinemax. We have the FCC to contend with. Excuse me, I was thirsty for my own tongue.
what it is initially in like that first movie is he is a child killer, and then the kids that he's killing or trying to kill, like Heather Langenkamp, Johnny Depp, all those characters, they're the children of the people that murdered him.
Sure.
So he's getting revenge on those people by killing their kids.
So it doesn't matter what their age is at that point. It's more of a vengeance
game. And then from there, it's like, well, teens.
But that's the weird. In this movie, it starts off with a really atrocious monologue about
how he loves nightmarish children. And, I love the children.
And then he, like, hunts 24-year-olds the whole movie. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, to be fair to the film, I think they're supposed to be, like, 18. But we're, like, bare minimum 25.
Yes.
It's a 25 and up situation.
It's a real Luke Perry scenario.
A lot of these actors voted for Clinton the first time. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some old-ass people playing Children of Elm Street in this movie. And just the whole idea of saying Elm Street. And this, I mean, you brought it up a second ago. This whole monologue of just him... The premise of this movie, to boil it down, is the people of Elm Street have forgotten about Freddy Krueger, which builds on the whole idea in these sequels of, like, if you ignore him, he just goes away. So this is like, they've completely forgotten about me. How could they do that? I needed to search. I'm going to stop doing it. He needed to search the bowels of hell, and he runs into Jason.
of all the gin joints in all the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Rick's all American. Anyway, so also they go through the entire origin, basically, of Freddy. Yes. They summarize that whole thing. You don't really get that with Jason in this, although I guess Jason's simpler.
You definitely do, though, because Lachlan Monroe, like halfway through this movie, is like, let me stop everything and tell you kids about the legend of Jason Voorhees. And he goes into it, and you're just like, I know. I've been here since the beginning. I've seen all these movies.
Yes.
Anyone who's watching this piece of shit has seen all of the other pieces of shit.
And also, if you're a kid in this world, you know about Jason. Jason Voorhees is like Ted Bundy times 10, right? Like, he's been on TV in that last movie we did.
Oh, American Crime, whatever.
Yeah, trust me, everybody, the FBI took him down 6 times from Sunday.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he's like folklore.
Yes.
There's, you know, probably what I mean? Like an episode of Unsolved Mysteries about him.
Because the thing is, like, Freddy Krueger is like just a child killer, and like I hear tell that he comes into people's dreams. But fucking Jason is going everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
He's tactilely murdering people in the real world. There's pictures of him like Sasquatch, you know what I mean? Like,
that's hairy old Jason walking nude through the Crystal Lake Forest.
I don't know. I think that's a guy with a suit. You can kind of see the zipper on the back.
You can see the back of Jason's zipper. But yeah, it's like a like he's a thing.
Yes.
American Case File. Wow, I don't need to remember that. That's the name of that fake hard copy show in Jason Goes to Hell. Yeah, everybody.
But this movie, I mean, the problem about this movie, too, is like it should be more. It doesn't know if it wants to be a real movie or just fan service. And I would actually almost prefer it to be more fan service. Like, get John Saxon in there, you know, find a way for Kevin Bacon to show up. Like, let's put some money in here and move some stuff around and, like, you know, call back the earlier movies. Because, yes, it's all horror hounds. That's the only people that are going to show up to see this movie.
No one at the box office that opening weekend was like, say, now what's that picture? Freddy versus Jason. Well, say, mother, that sounds interesting. How about a night out at the cinema? Like, everybody in that theater knows the score. And you're just like, it's honestly so disrespectful. Because if it's anything you'll say about horror hounds, man, they are a dedicated people.
Sure.
You know, I know my people. We are a dedicated bunch. And it's insulting to them to go into this movie and someone spells out the story of Freddy Krueger in the first 3 minutes?
Wait, hold on a second. These people can be insulted? Because to me, it looks like nothing's been working.
They keep putting movies in their face, insulting them day in, day out.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are insulting, let's talk really quickly about the soundtrack to this movie.
Oof.
Mm.
I mean, here's the thing. I think what they're thinking, and I said this to yesterday, I think, Steve, the idea that the rest of these movies, the music that's in it is music like that the characters would listen to at the time or whatever. Like, the music in this movie is like them thinking, Well, what do most, like, stereotypical horror fans listen to? Fucking nu metal. Like, it's just, it's the most garbage nu metal you'll ever, I mean, garbage nu metal. Yeah, that's an oxymoron. But, like, yeah, it's just, it's this shit movie music that takes you right out of everything.
And you know what, dude? Like, let's just, don't get Il Nino for your movie. Spend some money and get Linkin Park to show up.
Well, exactly right.
Guys, it was also, what, 2003? Which is unequivocally the worst year in history. I mean, I think we can all agree, right? I mean, the Iraq war is going on. Right. Everyone's looking weird and gross, and they're listening to trash.
The I mean, that's another thing about this movie. It looks like the early 2000s. The haircuts in this movie, which is, for all the men, it's the pushed forward and flipped up wall of hair at the top. We're all wearing Gap sweaters that are just a little too big to be sweaters.
We got like some nice, everything's a little bit ribbed somewhere. Everything's got a rib on it somewhere or another.
Yeah, exactly right. So yeah, everybody looks like garbage. It sounds like garbage, you know, and these opening credits are disgusting. It's just like blood splatter, like paint effects everywhere, spelling out Freddy versus Jason.
Well, the problem with this movie is none of these franchises should have made it to the 2000s.
Correct.
There's no need for them to be brought into the cold light of day. You know what I mean? And I actually read on IMDb that they have that there was a bunch of properties that were going to verse each other if this movie succeeded.
Really?
Yeah. Police Academy versus Ghostbusters was going to happen. Indiana Jones versus Black Rain. Star Trek 4 versus Star Trek 6 was going to happen.
That makes sense.
Oh, wow. That, you know what? Star Trek 6 wins.
Oh, guaranteed.
Sorry, everyone.
Ordinary People versus A Cry in the Dark. Harry and the Hendersons versus Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That I would watch. That one I would actually legitimately
maybe
watch.
Maybe a sequel to this, Kramer versus Kramer versus Freddy versus Jason.
We're getting divorced! I want the kids!
And then Jason's just heavy breathing.
The entire time.
Mr. Voorhees, this is the time for your testimony in the courtroom. Permission to treat the witness as hostile.
Mr. Voorhees, could you drop your machete, please?
And then he goes on Arsenio Hall.
Oh, God, gross. Big Trouble in Little China versus Sophie's Choice.
Big Trouble in Little China wins.
And Amadeus versus Beetlejuice.
You'd get me in the theater with that.
Oh, yeah, man. You get to see
the music alone. Harry Belafonte meets Mozart.
Yes. And you got, Michael Keaton versus, who's
Jack Nicholson?
What's his name? Tom Hulce,
And
Mr. Animal House.
F. Murray Abraham in there mixing it up. Dancing with Gina Davis. I'll watch that movie.
Oh, yeah, Dancing with Gina Davis would be a good movie title, actually.
So we get this Freddy monologue, and it's just garbage town. And then, so his whole mission is recruit Jason to, I guess, kill a bunch of kids and make them think that Freddy did it so people start thinking about Freddy again. Yes. This is an ass backwards plan, first of all, Freddy.
And also, what's stupid about this plan is that, wait a second, an undead being, Jason Voorhees, has dreams, including nightmares.
We're really taking some leaps with this character. But yeah, the whole thing is like, he's not dead. They pretend that Jason X didn't happen. So it's the end of...
He also didn't get pulled
into hell. Yeah. How far do we have to back this up? So
three?
So he didn't go to space. He didn't get pulled down into hell.
He didn't go to Manhattan.
He didn't melt in a sewer in Manhattan. So it's the end of part seven. He's just been in the lake since part seven when the psychic girl's dead dad pulls him under the water.
But he's already undead by then. And I think that undead people, they just power down like C-3PO.
Yeah, until
they
next
don't
movie.
Dream.
No, well, he's made out of pond scum by this point. Like, there's no organs inside of him.
There's mushrooms growing on his brain.
Exactly. Do undead beings dream of electric sheep, guys? Think about it.
Good question.
Philip K. Dick versus Freddy versus Jason.
I mean, so it's just, it's total bullshit. And I think because I had to back it up like four movies, I don't know if this is canon.
No Kane Hodder, by the way.
Yeah, Kane Hodder told he's not big enough to play Jason in this movie. Screw you, movie producers. That's an insult to Kane Hodder.
All right, because they said he was like 6'2", and they wanted someone 6'5", to hulk over Robert Englund.
Yeah, because they wanted it to be like a David versus Goliath thing. How about this? Andrew versus not giving a shit. Like, come on. Kane Hodder is the best Jason, man.
And also, that's why would you piss off the community that you're trying to service with this movie by bringing in some dude off the street who does a fine enough job? I mean, it's not like... Again, this is it's not Salieri. You know what I mean? It's not the toughest role.
It's a mask.
You barely see Jason in this movie, though. Like, he does get some killing in, but, like, there's just so much either Freddy Krueger farting around, giving his monologues.
He's a complete afterthought.
Or it's these kids. We're spending a lot of time with these kids doing research at the library.
Right.
Oh, I'm terrified.
They're hanging out in high school the whole time. What the hell is Jason Voorhees doing? What is he doing? Sharpening his machete?
What does he do during the day?
Right.
How is he cooling? Where is he cooling his heels?
I could use a day in the life of Jason Voorhees movie, like him wandering around the bog. Right. Like,
it's just a lot of him ripping the heads off of rabbits.
Maybe he's got a nice little apartment in a rooming house, like in The Fugitive. He gets it from some Albanian lady.
Yeah, he's living in her basement.
Yeah.
Oh, he thinks that that Tommy Lee Jones is out to get him, but he's just going after that Albanian son to haul him off. Oh, that was a close one.
He starts working in hospitals and saving little kids.
I probably killed my wife.
We can talk about the kids now.
Sure.
Monica Keena is our lead, also named Lori, which fuck you, can't do that.
Nope, seriously, way to make me just sit around thinking about watching Halloween, stupid movie.
Yep.
Monica Keena from Undeclared and almost nothing else.
What else
has she been in? I haven't followed the career of Monica Keena.
She was the mean girl on Dawson's Creek who drowned in a lake and everyone was still kind of mean to her.
Wait,
after that.
So does she become Jason Voorhees?
She might become Jason after that. Man, that'd be awesome. Just ripping Pacey's head off.
Yeah, you know what, everybody? By the way, it's 2015. How about a female Jason?
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. Why can't there be a female boogeyman or boogerman or boogerwoman, I guess I should say, that could go out and murder teenagers? I actually kind of now want to see that.
Funny enough, the girl who plays like the sporty chick with the baseball cap, some unknown actress. She is the titular... What's her name? Do you know?
Catherine... No, I haven't.
Whatever. She plays the titular role in this flick, American Mary, which is... It's a woman... she's like a med student-ish kind of a thing, and she's killing people left and right in that movie.
She's also the lead in Ginger Snaps, which is actually a really good movie.
That's a werewolf-related
movie? Yeah, it holds up. It's a cool movie, yeah.
And that's set in old-time Canada, right?
Yeah, well, no, today Canada. Or 2000 whatever Canada.
Any time in Canada is old time.
Well, I think it's
I apologize to our Canadian listeners.
The trilogy,
I
haven't seen yet, is... Well, I've only seen the first one. It's the first one, then it's the second one, and then it's in Ginger Snaps in the old country.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, are you serious?
They go back in time in that, and it sounds amazing.
And that's like old time Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Fur I gotta watch these Ginger Snaps movies.
You eat enough cookies, you go back in time.
That's what I honestly was like. Is that movie about the cookie? Is it like killer cookies? Like that Gary Busey Ginger Dead Man?
Oh man, that's a doof.
Yeah,
did
those
you watch? Did anyone here watch Ginger Dead Man?
I've seen one of them, and it's virtually unwatchable.
Oh, okay, because that's what I thought it would be, and you've now confirmed it.
Yeah, don't worry, you don't have to watch the Ginger Dead Man movies.
So the best death in the movie is the first one you get. I think so. The sporty girl is having sex with her boyfriend at Monica Keena's house.
Who this guy is one of the biggest scumbags in slasher history.
Well, it's an abusive relationship. This girl's got a raw deal this whole movie. By the way, speaking of raw deal, she actually had a
was in raw deal with Schwarzenegger.
I wish. Well, she had a big problem with Ronnie Yu because she signed she signed the contract, and he's like, "By the way, you're going to get naked in this movie, right?" And she's like, "No, I'm not." And
well, because they changed which character she was going to play.
Oh, that's right.
Because, you know, surprise, surprise, this movie had like 18 drafts of the screenplay.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's the most obvious body double in the universe. I always hate body doubles because it's like, then why bother? Like, why bother?
I don't need nudity in this movie. And also, like, way to Martin Cinemax the Third out, Ronnie Yu. Jesus yeah. Christ. Like, your movie's not going to sink or swim by a shower scene that's 8 seconds long.
The title alone is selling the tickets.
Yeah. Exactly. No one saw that trailer and was like, my God, I hope there's bare breasts in this movie.
I know the Jason movies are rotten with him, but is there a lot of nudity in the Nightmare movies or not that much?
Not especially.
No. It's grosser because Robert Englund's tongue's everywhere. And everyone's like, you know what? I don't need any nudity.
It's like if that scarred tongue is out, that blouse is buttoned. Let me just.
I mean, if it's unbuttoned, then you're bumping it up to NC-17.
Yeah, exactly. If you're just seeing gross nipple licks of that dumb movie.
Gross nipple licks.
That's what it would be if Freddy Krueger licked a breast in a movie. It would be a gross nipple lick.
So she's showering after sex, or her body double is, and Jason comes in, stabs this dude in the back, and then like folds him up like laundry, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. This dude just... It's like closing a briefcase. And this dude's just like wedged in it. And it's just, it's good.
It's kind of a fatality a little bit.
It's a total fatality. You know, and here's the thing, we can kind of like touch on this a little. When they fight each other in this movie, yeah. Dude, it is Mortal Kombat fighting.
And there's a babeality.
There's a total babeality.
We'll get to it, but someone turns into a baby. From their magical sorcerer fighting, someone turns into a baby.
And where's Satan in all of this? Honestly, where is Satan? Like, he closed that gate.
He got dropped a couple of drafts back, but believe me, Satan was involved in this movie in one form. They were supposed to fight in front of the devil at the end of the movie.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, one of the things was they were supposed to go to hell, and there's a thing. You can't really see it because it's shrouded in darkness, but there's glowing eyes and sort of horns watching them battle in all hell's eternal flame or whatever. And it's like,
it's just rear projection of legend.
I was going to say, the only person that Freddy and Jason would both respect is... Tim Curry's devil, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually totally true.
But the thing is, the devil has probably got too much important stuff to do because the plot of this is stupid. Oh, yeah. Who cares?
Like, the devil's not going to bother with this. You're totally right. Yeah. I have better places to be.
But these lock also, your gates, dude. Don't let your dogs run all over the earth.
These are lesser demons.
That's true.
These are just trash.
Now, after...
I mean, Freddy Krueger is a white trash demon. You're right.
Oh, he absolutely is.
And Jason Voorhees is too. He's from backwater New Jersey. No offense.
But what happens immediately after this murder is, so the girl comes out of the bathroom, sees what's going on, starts screaming, runs out the house. And what we're introduced to is like a very like not particularly well calculated shift in tone, yes. Because it's like, holy fuck, that guy got killed.
Yeah.
She's terrified. Everybody's screaming. She runs out of the house in the towel. It's like kind of a little party going on, but not really. It's like an intimate gathering of people who don't really like each other. And they all run out of the house. And here's our deputy doofus, Lachlan Monroe, rolls down the window, and this woman is screaming her head off, and he just goes, do you kids need assistance? And she's like, what the fuck do you think? And it's like, you know what I don't need? I don't need this much comedy right away. Nope. Like, I just saw this dude get folded up like a clam.
Yep.
Like, let's let that play out a little bit. Instead, we're cracking jokes right away, and it takes you right out of it. Also, what takes you right out of it? Lachlan Monroe's frosted tips that he has in this movie.
Deputies don't have frosted tips.
No one would take this dude seriously at the police station.
I feel like every screen appearance of this fella, he's had frosted tips.
I think you're right.
At least every memorable screen appearance.
So the interesting thing is the deputies all start sort of swarm this house. And they're doing a little CSI stuff. And I guess the sheriff is like some sort of warlock or magician because he's in league with this. Like, everyone knows that Freddy is from hell and he's a mystical being. And the only way to keep the curse alive is to keep his name like under wraps. So like everyone's like, don't say it. Voldemort can't show up if you don't say it.
To keep Freddy away.
Yes. Yeah, yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. 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 But like he's some sort of like,
it's like
he casted a spell. He put like a ring of salt around the neighborhood. just to make sure that Freddy can't show up.
It's like you can't say Beetlejuice three times.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like so this other little dude who works for the sheriff's department is like, well, say, sheriff, don't you think it's got to be Fred Krueger? And he's like, don't you dare. And it's like, I work too long and too hard to eradicate the memory of Freddy Krueger from everyone in this town for you to go mucking it up again, deputy idiot.
Do you remember that virgin sacrifice we did 3 years ago? Was that for nothing?
You gave your sister to that cause. How quickly we forget.
Let's cast her into the hell mouth.
And also something that like is so glossed over but could have been a really cool, important detail in the movie is
that's on the back of the box, by the way. Though, that quote.
Is like Monica Keena's character. This is her house that they're at where this murder happens. This is Nancy's house from Friday or from Nightmare One.
Yeah.
Like, this is the Nightmare house. And it's just this dude's like, sheriff, it's whatever it is, like 4781 Elm Street. Remember what happened here? And then never again.
Nope.
Do they do anything with it? And it's like, that's the house. Like, we go to Crystal Lake later in the movie, and that's like sort of paid some sort of attention, but not really. Like, you're using this iconic place. Like, use it in your movie.
Do you need me to lend you $3,500 to get Heather Langenkamp in this movie? Do you really need me to do it? Because I could do it. I mean, like, honestly, how expensive is it to get Heather Langenkamp to be like, oh, that's my house? Like, have her be in it. That's kind of something.
Exactly.
Get Corey fucking Feldman off the goddamn bathroom floor. Get him in this movie. Then we're having a good time.
Apparently, again, one of these drafts, Tommy Jarvis was supposed to be in this movie.
Wow.
Not, you know, I don't think it ever got to casting, so I don't know if the Feld dog was...
Was Roy supposed to be in this movie at all?
I think Roy was supposed to make a cameo appearance in Jason's Dreams.
Actually, IMDb listed him as supposed to be played by Jason Bateman, which would have been interesting.
Oh, Tommy Jarvis is supposed to be Jason Bateman?
Yeah, not Roy. Nobody thought about Roy.
And Roy as Tommy Jarvis.
I could use, well, I know we were saying no jokey joke, but I could use Bateman as that role. Why not?
Yeah, that would have been something.
2003, so you're shooting this movie in 2002, so Arrested Development was like just about to happen. He was still a nobody then. You could have got him to
do some
serious
stuff. He was going to Teen Wolf conventions at that point.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Oh, how about Teen Wolf versus Freddy versus Jason?
Oh, yeah. That's how you would get a contemporaneous, like, 80s werewolf involved?
Yeah.
It would have to be a Teen Wolf on the swim team, and, you know, Jason's afraid to go in the water.
And they have their, like, swimming competitions at Crystal Lake.
Obviously.
Nice.
Which, why would you hold it there? Everyone's always stupid in these movies.
You know why? It would be a throwaway line like the permit was the cheapest.
Yeah.
It would like the sheriff would be like, or like the gym coach is like, because the permit costs this much. And he holds up a big O.
Right. Or like, the way we get to the Nationals is we have to beat this New Jersey team. And they're holding it at this haunted pond to try to psych us out. Well, but you get in there, Wolf.
Little do they know we got a Teen Wolf on our team.
So we're not afraid.
Yes.
Get in there and dog paddle, boy.
So apparently her Monica Keena had a boyfriend who witnessed the death of her mother.
Right.
And like part of this large conspiracy. I mean, this is like huge.
Oh, I think this is going all the way to the top
of
Springwood, Illinois. But it's going all the way to the top.
Speaking
nonetheless.
Of conspiracies, all like one of the fathers in this movie, to me, looked exactly like Alex Jones.
He kind of did.
Right? Oh, the fat guy that gets decapitated?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look like Alex Jones.
He looks just like him.
So this conspiracy.
Apparently him and his buddy were locked up in... Anyone who knows about Freddy Krueger gets locked up at the
Westin Institute, I think,
from
or whatever
Nightmare
it is.
3.
Yes.
I think everybody's there and they get Hypnosil, which is also in Nightmare 3, where it suppresses your dreams. And they've been like living through it their entire, for the past like what are X amount of years.
Right.
And
they're not aware of Freddy. Like they Hypnosil makes you not have dreams, so it's like, hey, man, when was the last time you had a nightmare? Like, all this stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
So at the same time this murder is being reported on TV, we cut to the Westin Institute, and it's
Jason Ritter.
Jason Ritter, son of the legendary John Ritter, of course, R.I.P., and then some other guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we're doing a little, like, cuckoo's nest for a little bit, and he sees on the TV, like, oh, there was a murder at that famed Freddy Krueger house. So long story short, they break out to like make their way back to Springwood because he's friends with those people.
Also, you know what? You're going through this mass conspiracy. You're trying to fucking, you know, you're putting people in mental institutions. You're putting people on the ground. You know what? Condemn that stupid house.
Yep.
That's the cheapest one of them all.
Like, why isn't it like a flop house or something in this movie? That would have been kind of cool.
Well, why are you still renting that property?
That's what they have in like those Halloween movies is the old Myers house is abandoned. Eventually, right. In the later sequels, it is fixed up and people move back in. But, like, for the most part, like, when a horrible tragedy happens there, you board that shit up.
Yeah,
condemned.
Exactly. You don't renovate it instantly and start sleeping in the murder pool.
Around the horn, could you sleep in a house where a horrific famed murder happened?
Depends on how much it cuts down my rent.
I would say yes, unless a supernatural entity was involved in the murder.
Well, I feel like you're not getting that detail until you move in, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there was a murder here. By the way, it was committed by ghosts.
New versus the entity versus Casper.
Oh.
Rape ghost versus a wisecracking cherub.
Team entity.
Yeah, the entity is clearly winning. Yeah. Casper is going down.
That movie's uncomfortable.
Oh, the Barbara Hershey, the entity?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to watch.
It's a good movie, but it's uncomfortable.
You know what, though? It gets all science-y at the end, and you can kind of keep that. We're going to flash freeze a ghost or whatever.
Casper is a bad movie, but it is uncomfortable. I do not recommend Casper. Previous episode, Casper, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Whatever. Monica Keena's downtown at the police station. She's fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we get some Freddy stuff. And what we realize with this Freddy nonsense is he's not quite strong enough yet to do harm to people. And it's like, you get it from watching what happens. Like, he tries to slash at her and he, like, goes through her and nothing happens.
He literally says, oh, not strong enough yet.
Exactly right. Like, then it's just like, you think idiots are watching this movie, New Line Cinema.
Because not only is it, oh, not strong enough yet, then he, like, goes, time to let Jason have some fun.
Like, oh, yeah. It's so operatic and whatever.
He's, like, talking to the camera, like, hey, audience, would you like to see Jason kill some people now that I've failed?
I mean, this movie is a perfect movie for Alzheimer's patients. It keeps telling you what no, this is what we're doing. This is exactly it. Every 9 minutes, somebody has to remind you of what the plot is.
There is, there's a lot of bad dialogue in this movie.
Oh, really?
It's mostly out of the mouth of Kelly Rowlands.
I think it's 95 minutes.
Oh, man, Kelly Rowlands, we haven't talked about it yet.
No, she's one of the friends. And one of the lines
she's
around
one
this
of the
time...
Destiny's Children.
Yes, she was one of Destiny's Children. One of the lines she has kind of around this part, like, it's basically like the morning after the murder, right? So it's like, it's the one murder, but then also, like, that shitty boyfriend's buddy and his father also get murdered by Jason.
Yes, pretty immediately, which is pretty, he wakes up, he has a nightmare. This is another one of those, like, Freddy can't kill him, so Jason better do it.
You better get in there. Sub in, Jason. I gotta tap out for right now.
You better tag me before Macho Man gets all revved up. I know he's down on the mat right now, but he looks like he's gaining his wind.
Hurry up, Jason. Hogan's running down the ramp, and he's got a chair with him.
Oh, ate too much pork.
Dude, Freddy versus Hulk Hogan. Ooh, I'd watch that.
Definitely.
I bet, here's the thing. Wrestling fans out there, in the 80s, was there ever a television promotion when one of these Nightmare or Jason sequels came out, when they appeared on a wrestling broadcast? I feel like that had to have happened.
I could see Jason running
around.
Yeah,
Jason, like, choke slamming somebody.
Yeah.
If Jon Stewart was at SummerSlam or whatever, like, Jason Voorhees may have appeared at a wrestling event.
Well, the Undertaker was kind of like that. You know, we could have used... The Undertaker could have done a movie where he was killing people.
I don't know why. They did the Kane movie, See No Evil, but the Undertaker was due.
And by the way, you're telling me that Kane was a better actor than The Undertaker? Don't think so. No. I saw See No Evil in theaters.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's
dude.
Your problem?
midnight show.
Didn't
man.
That like Triple H fella do a movie or so?
Paul Levesque, I believe. So.
Yeah, he's got a movie called The Chaperone, which is like a ripoff of that Rock family movie.
Yikes.
Yeah, nobody cares about Paul Levesque movies. Nobody cared about See No Evil either. That theater was empty. It was like me and five dudes in wrestling t-shirts. I was not wearing a wrestling
t-shirt. You sure?
My t-shirt was just as tight as theirs, but it was not a wrestling t-shirt.
There were six people then.
So the dudes break out of the mental institution, and the next day in high school, they start spitting up a blue streak about Freddy Krueger's origin, which I've heard at this point three whole times.
Exactly right. And it's like Kelly Rowlands is like running around. Like it's sort of like the first scene in Scream after Drew Barrymore gets murdered.
There's so much Scream, like,
yes, big time. We're trying to be as snappy as the Scream screenplays.
And the score, when it's not nu metal, is very Scream. It's got the
Yeah, you're totally right. I didn't
That's
even think about that. Yeah.
Star Trek, I think.
But one of the things she says is like they're trying to blame. So basically they're saying like the buddy who died with his dad like murdered the other friend in the bed and then went home, killed his dad and killed himself.
Yeah.
And she's like, they're trying to pin him on it like it's some sort of Columbine shit. And I'm like, what in the flying fuck is wrong with you, screenplay? Why are we invoking the Columbine massacre in this movie?
I'm shocked that we didn't like mention 9/11 after that.
Totally. It was right there, dude, 2003. This is some Twin Towers shit.
Slasher movies suffered a real blow at Columbine because everybody realized that dead teenagers aren't hilarious.
Right.
So it's very important in your slasher movie a couple of years later that you just don't talk about Columbine.
Please.
Because everyone's like, oh man, that's right. Dead teenagers aren't funny. They're kind of like little children, only a little older.
Conversely, some people were probably like, well, we gotta say it because it's gonna be on everyone's minds.
No.
It's gonna be on everyone's minds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so stupid and so fucking irresponsible. And it's because there's a much more famous line that we'll get to towards the end of the movie that this movie is remembered for. But this one's kind of forgotten. And I think it's also fucking offensive.
Yes.
And you're totally right, Steve. Like, that shit needs to be as far apart as possible.
It's been a couple of years now. Could you imagine a horror movie being like, that's some Sandy Hook shit?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you're just leaving it in this movie, and she just passes it off like it's supposed to be a joke. Like, also, she's definitely saying it in the tone like it's a joke.
Oh, no, yeah. It's a pop reference.
Yeah, and you're like, wow. Like, wow.
Pop-up video. Boop, boop. Yeah, Columbine was a tragedy a few years ago.
It's just, it's so, it stops the movie and you're like, all right, Kelly Rowlands, thanks for being here.
Yeah. Ugh. And
that's the most bone-chilling part of the movie.
Kelly Rowlands, I guess, wants to get a nose job in this movie for some reason. They make that her character thing.
Sure, why not?
She has a nightmare. Again, Freddy still isn't strong enough yet. And he's strong enough to make a really bad pun where he rips her nose off. And he goes, got your nose!
Oh, and I just roll my eyes over and over.
And it's also, that's indicative of why this movie looks weird in the cold light of 2003. CGI nose rip, and I don't need it.
Yep.
Let's get some puppets on there. Let's rip a nose off this lady.
And let me tell you, there is a lot of CGI kills in this movie, and they stick out like sore-ass thumbs. It all looks terrible. Every last bit of computer nonsense in this movie looks like complete garbage, and, you know, you can't erase that. George Lucas isn't coming back in and fiddling with this movie.
I would love, I mean, the concept got ran into the ground, but if you did a right now period piece, Freddy versus Jason, by the guy who did The Guest. Now we're hanging out and we're having a good time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've kind of posited this before. Like, I wanted, like, a just straight 80s throwback Friday the 13th directed by Ty West.
Yeah.
Like, anything like that. Like, that's what needs to happen. Because, I'm sorry, these movies, it's not just the 2000s, because we proved it with Jason Goes to Hell. The 90s didn't work with these movies either.
No.
You know, like, what is it? New Nightmare gets away with being in the 90s because that's like, this is coming out into the reality, so we're not trying to make the same exact feeling.
It's a meta movie.
Movie,
yeah. It still sucks, but yeah.
Yeah, but like, just this, kind of movie making, it needs to look grainy and shitty, and it needs to be in the 1980s.
Yep.
It just has to. And that's where I think you will see your most success from any of these reboots that we try to do with these franchises. Set it in the 80s. Make it as 80s as possible. Go all out. Like, that Ty West movie, The House of the Devil, isn't tied to any franchise.
Nope.
But the fact that he did that, you could argue it's gimmicky, but also, like, it's awesome. And that movie's, like, totally watchable because of that.
It's a great movie, but it's also, you need someone with capable hands. Like
that, too.
Ty West is a very talented guy. You get someone else trying to make the 80s slasher, it might look like not another teen movie.
Yeah, that's very true.
And also, like, because we're talking about, like, you need somebody who knows what they're doing, stay out of horror movies, Michael Bay.
That'd
and your
nice.
Fucking Platinum Dunes production company. That's who did that 2009 Friday. They did all those new Texas
right.
Chainsaws.
What is it? Didn't they share a director too, maybe? Marcus Nispel?
Nispel. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, people who direct perfume commercials for a living have no business yeah. in the genre to begin with.
You're totally right, man.
So I don't even know. Jason Ritter meets up with her and he's like, hey, this is what's going on. He tells everybody who can listen about Freddy Krueger.
Well, this
I would love it if they cut to Freddy Krueger and hell just jerking off.
Oh, they're remembering. They're starting to remember. I can't wait to turn into a bug and then a lobster and then a big building. Oh man, I'm going to wear a Superman cape. It's going to get fucking stupid in here in 10 minutes. You still killing, Jason? Still doing my bidding? I got a lot of great ideas about things to turn into.
Man.
I'm like the genie from Aladdin, but worse.
Wow, that's hard to do.
But the thing about this hallway scene, too, is like, Monica Keena's trying to explain, because she's like, I can't remember his name and this, that, the other thing. And it's just like, this dude is like, oh, you. He finishes the theme song, the 1-2, Freddy's coming for you, whatever. And he's like, three, five, six, whatever,
yeah.
Never sleep again. And he's like, oh, sound familiar? Then did this happen? Then did this? And he's like screaming at this girl in the hallway. And Jason Ritter's like, dude, we escaped from a mental institution 6 hours ago. Pipe down. And it turns out Monica Keena and Jason Ritter used to date, and that's the whole thing, and whatever. So.
Young, tortured romance. I mean,
but while we're holding off on the terror, why don't we see a couple of losers planning a big old cornfield rave, and we're just getting ready for this party, and then we're going to go to this party.
Sure.
And the nerd Linderman is going to be there.
Oh, man, Linderman's going to be there.
And poor Linderman, man.
Well, the thing about Linderman is he gets, like, beat up on his way to the party, and it's very much Dazed and Confused, where to the point where I kind of want Jason to show up at Dazed and Confused, like, hey, Jason, party at the Moon Tower.
All right, Jason, I saw you take down them three boys. All right, all right, all right.
Thing I love about Crystal Lake, I get older, the kids stay the same age.
I want to see Ben Affleck chasing Jason, trying to give him a paddling on the behind.
He's just covered in blood instead of white paint. Yeah, I think that's a movie that I'd like to see.
Parker Posey and that dude from Rent, Anthony Rapp, is just like, they're standing in the back silently judging all of Jason's activities in a sarcastic fashion.
You know, I think Linklater could do a good slasher.
Yeah.
Dude, a Richard Linklater horror movie?
Yeah.
I would love that. That's like two of my favorite things combined.
He gets Wiley Wiggins right at the sinus when he keeps grabbing it. It's just like Jason just puts his knife through it.
Oh, God, that would be great. Oh, but instead, Freddy versus Jason. So we got this cornfield party.
And we totally steal from Scream. There's this, like, Jason Mewes stand-in that nobody wanted and nobody cared for. Oh,
and all of a sudden,
Freeburg?
Freeburg.
I thought they were yelling Freebird the whole time.
And this guy, talk about the character nobody asked for and totally overstays his welcome.
Yep.
And it had been like oh, pathetically, just a few months since I'd watched this movie last. Because when I got the box set, I watched all of them. So I'm watching it last night, and I'm like, ah, oh, that stoner guy is really annoying. Good thing I don't have to put up with him for too long. What's that? He's around for 45 minutes of this movie?
Yep.
He's like a third-tier character, this Friedberg.
He makes some offhand remark on the girl whose boyfriend got folded up like a sandwich.
Yeah.
And she goes, nice job, idiot, which is totally the line. Like, he even says, like, gutted from stem to sternum or whatever the hell that line is.
Oh, right.
It's very Scream. And she runs off, and she passes out drunk. She's an alcoholic or whatever.
Yes.
And her boyfriend kind of leads her, her dead boyfriend leads her into the cornfield because it's really Freddy.
Right.
And it turns into a Freddy nightmare, and she goes in the whole fucking boiler room thing.
And while she's doing the whole boiler room thing, by the way, because this is what I want in my slasher film, this gross rave kid, like, kind of starts date raping
her. He for real starts date raping her.
He's, like, licking her and shit while she's, like, passed out. Like, this poor girl is dealing with, like, Freddy Krueger in the boiler room underworld, and then is also, like, got this scumbag on top of her.
And noted feminist Jason will not have it.
Dude, this is actually kind of the only time computer graphics pay off in this movie, because he just fucking boots this kid, and it's like a football, man. This guy goes flying down the cornfield, never seen again. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And Freddy's about to kill her he's got this whole boiler room set. Oh, it's so awesome. I've got this girl in a boiler room. I love boiler rooms. And
he's sideshow bobbing it up.
Yes.
Going his whole spiel, and it's too late.
Because she gets murdered and, like, leaves the dream, and he goes, no!
Oh, man. And so then this is what's really, really stupid, is after that happens, he realizes what's going on, and it's like, oh, Jason killed her. Well, now I'm mad at Jason. And you're like, oh, this is why it's Versus, because he gets pissed off that, like, he fucking cock-blocked him from killing this chick in her dreams. Well,
this is
great.
This is where you get Satan involved. He's keeping track of who's getting the most souls.
Yes.
Better pick up the pace, Freddy. Jason's winning.
Well, he's not playing fair, Lord and Master.
It's hell. There is no fair. Kills are kills. This is one of my favorite parts of the movie is when Jason gets on fire and he's just walking through this cornfield.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so, so he then stumbles upon a fat guy and, like, a jock doofus who are, like, smoking weed. Or no, they're, like, drinking, they're
Everclear.
Chugging a pitcher of Everclear. And this fat guy's got some funny lines here. He's like, this Everclear is kicking my ass, which I get a legitimate laugh every time. I don't know why.
That guy saw Josh Gad in a lot of casting couches and went, fuck.
And now he sees Josh Gad in everything and he's like, fuck. So this, you know, they're there, and then, like, Jason comes up and they start making fun of him as if he's a hillbilly, and they're like, well, get out of here, Jethro, and find a pig to fuck. And it's like, it's one of those things where I've seen it 1,000 times as someone comes across Jason in the woods, makes fun of him because they presume he's some sort of swamp rat. And then they're instantly murdered.
He's still built like Andre the Giant. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In the night, you come across a gigantic giant person in
a mask.
Yeah. That's unsettling.
I'm not talking shit. I'm taking shits in my pants.
I walk outside at night. I think no one's around. And, oh, it's just an 85-year-old man walking his dog. Yeah. I get afraid.
Yeah.
I get unsettled. A giant man in a mask. Oh, yeah. No, I'm shitting myself tonight.
So this is it's another really lame CGI thing. He kills the jock guy and the fat guy starts running. And it's pretty funny because Jason's just like, I can walk all night, fat guy. And this dude's trying to, like, chug it through the cornfield. And then he runs out to the party like, there's a murderous hillbilly. And here comes, like, machete cam. We're throwing the CGI machete and it goes through this fat guy and he falls down dead and whatever. And, like, at this point, they've already lit him on fire. Yeah. Like, the fat guy lights him on fire.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty quick to react. Like, he breaks the neck of the other guy and he's like, you killed my friend. Well, all right, I got this stick here and I'm going to pour some Everclear on it, set it on fire, and then I'm going to set you on fire. And so then, yeah, Jason's running around. He's totally on fire. It's the only time I can remember that Jason's ever, like, taken on a group like this
and
is just going to town on these people.
Right, yeah.
Not bad. this movie's terrible, but this scene, not bad.
You know what's a bad idea is when you're fleeing the scene of such a heinous crime.
Yeah.
And, you know, Freeburg and all our Scooby-Doo pals get in the van.
Sure.
Don't smoke weed right after this.
No,
it's a harrowing experience. You got to have your senses clear.
Totally. And I love tall glass of water as much as the next guy, but this is neither the time nor the place.
Yeah, you can't hotbox a van after you saw Jason Voorhees kill a bunch of people.
No, dude, you need to be on your game.
Yeah, and now you know there's another boogerman out there, too.
There's at least two boogermen.
Yeah, come on. You got to focus.
I mean, they try and get to the other guy that went to the mental institution. Freddie actually achieves in killing him because he got strong enough, I guess.
Oh, finally, I'm rock hard and I can kill this boy.
Jason got me enough power-ups that now I'm strong.
Tag me in, Jason. I'm going after Sting.
The Hardy Boys are going down tonight.
Doink the Clown. This movie could use Doink the Clown.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Come on. I got to go after both members of the Legion of Doom.
Oh, no. Now Doink is tagging in it.
What was the actual name of that clown?
It.
Oh, Pennywise.
Pennywise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tagging in it.
We know who it is.
And no, then, I know.
And then it tags in them. And now there's giant ants roaming Ohio.
I mean, what the fuck ever. We figure, like, everyone start, I think this is when Lachlan Monroe shows up. They form a little club and they're all going to hang out and talk about it. And everyone's like, Freddy. And then Lachlan Monroe's like, I think we have a Jason Voorhees copycat killer.
Because Lachlan Monroe has gone to the chief. And the chief, like Lachlan, I guess his character is new to town.
Yep.
So he hasn't been let in on the whole Fred Krueger nonsense. So he's like, say.
Chief/lead warlock, please.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Chief/dude from Halloween 3.
Yes.
And, you know, he's just like, I'm not going to tell you again. You shut the fuck up about this. And so, like, Lachlan's ass is really burned. So I don't understand how he makes this connection, though. And this is just, it's a shitty movie and a bad script. But it's like, all of a sudden, he just walks into this house.
Yes.
And they're like, how did you find us? And he's like, well, the Scooby van parked out front gave it away. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's just a van. Like, you're like, oh, there's a van. People inside must be talking about Jason Voorhees. What connection is that shit?
Nope.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. But so they're sitting around this table. They're all, like, theorizing about, like, what's going on. And this is where, and I don't know where this came up. It's somewhere in We Hate Movies history. This line has been talked about before.
It's the worst line in any movie ever.
Take it away, Steve.
It's Monica Keena. She's in the back. Everyone's like, oh, blah, 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 Freddy, Jason, blah, blah. It's like,
wait a minute. Freddy died by fire, Jason by water. How can we use that?
Clunk.
And it comes to nothing because they don't use it.
No one even hears her say it. She's ignored.
I guess they're elemental spirits, yeah. Right? Like,
no, they're not.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just garbage talk. It's just smelly, hot New York City garbage talk.
All it is doing is kind of setting up, like, later when Freddy uses water against Jason.
Right.
Which I think is also kind of bullshit.
It's
that
bullshit.
Dude,
he's fucking walking through that lake all the time.
Including and up to the end of this movie.
But somehow he sees this waterfall and he's like, nope, won't go chasing that. Thank you.
You know that song's about AIDS, you know. Way to bring down the room, Jason.
Sorry.
Then the plan is they're going to go. They figure out what Hypnosil is six times over. And they're like, let's go all the way back to the mental institution and go get some. They do. Freddy gains control of Jason Mew's stand-in by, like, some sort of...
Finally, I get to turn into a fun little slug monster.
Jesus, oh. Tap dancing Christ. It's not a slug monster. It's a caterpillar because we're just doing Alice in Wonderland because this dude loves smoking weed.
It's exactly Alice in Wonderland.
But he's somehow, like, in the dream of this stoner, and I guess what he falls asleep from smoking weed, like, I don't know. And
sure.
He's walking around, and, like, the caterpillar goes inside this kid's mouth
yep.
in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that means on the outside, Freddy's possessed his body. And he's making the kid dump all the Hypnosil down the sink so the kids can't get it. Yeah, big old question mark. There's, you know what, Eric? There's some plot holes in this movie.
Well, the problem with Jason versus Freddy is Jason is really well defined. I mean, aside from how he can keep coming back, but who cares?
Right.
But Freddy, like, it's just like whatever he feels like doing that week, he can do it. He's throwing Superman cellophane S's at everybody.
Whatever he feels like, including, possessing this kid somehow, whatever.
And then, like, you know, he destroys all the Hypnosil, so that was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And
except for the ones that he injects into Jason.
Oh, no, that's like a paralytic that they get from there. It's like a pink whatever.
Right, it's something that makes
I think
dream.
It's the pink slime from Ghostbusters 2.
The mood medicine.
Ooh, Vigo versus Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, man. Oh, actually, a solid, like, Vigo v. Jason.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Just two big old muscle men going at
man,
it.
Man, the Scourge of Moldavia versus the Terror at Crystal Lake. I love it. Lachlan Monroe bites it.
In
no holds barred style by getting electrocuted.
Just totally zapped. While Jason's machete is stuck in a control panel, and he's getting zapped, and Jason, you know,
just
daisy
him.
Chains him and starts zapping him.
Did somebody say daisy chain? Yummy.
So it's like this whole trip was for nothing.
The kid, via Freddy, sacrifices himself by putting Jason out with this paralytic, and then I could go inside of his dreams. And this is the first of many, finally, Freddy versus Jason, which ultimately ends up to be fucking Tom and Jerry fights.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because none of them have any biology or have any kind of... There's no damage. It doesn't matter. They keep just dropping anvils on each other for the last hour.
We're never, fighting...
You never see the adults that live in the house.
I mean, they're totally fighting on the board game Mousetrap.
Yes.
Is what's happening. But, yeah, so Freddy realizes, like, if he wants to get his kill count up in the eyes of his Lord Satan, he's got to get Jason to pass out so he can kill Jason in his dreams and then continue the madness. But, so, yeah, this kid who, like, injects Jason via being possessed by Freddy gets cut in half with a machete. It's a pretty good takedown, although still a computer takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Just cut a dummy in half. It's right there. Please.
And some plan that the idiots plan make up is like, okay, Freddy's after us because we all live on Elm Street. Jason really doesn't have anything to do with us, so let's drive him back to Crystal Lake, 9 states away.
Yeah.
Yep. 9 states? What, isn't this Ohio?
Ohio. It's less than 9.
I thought Springwood is in Illinois.
I think it's Ohio. No.
Is it Ohio?
Is Ohio.
Halloween takes place
It's not... insane. It's far, but it's not insanely far.
It's like
far.
A 15-hour drive.
I feel like it's kind of a good idea. What the bad idea is sitting in the back of a van with him. Tie him to the roof.
Tie him to the roof. Thank you. Well, they have to keep injecting him with that paralytic for whatever reason. Linderman's there like, we're running out of this smooth slime. And everyone's like, shut up, Linderman.
Oh, my God. I hate the moments in this where Jason is, like, dreaming and it's just his body. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, he's drowning. And it's just water coming out of his mouth.
Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah. And it's so this is where we get our – we're driving to Crystal Lake. And, yeah, we're doing a 15-hour drive in 15 minutes.
Yes.
Whatever. And so while this is happening, so you got Jason Ritter's driving the car, Linderman's in the backseat administering the paralytic, and Kelly Rowlands is there to entertain us all.
I wish it was like a road movie where they had to keep stopping off at different motels and like, oh, this is my friend. He's totally wasted. We're going to leave him in the trunk. Don't worry.
I'd love it if they stopped off at like a truck stop and they decided to give up on the whole plan and they do the end of 5 Easy Pieces and Jason goes to the bathroom at the truck stop and everybody just gets in the cab of a truck and just drives off like Nicholson.
Or just put him on a plane to Bangkok. Like just literally.
You're
like,
China's problem now.
That's like that Jim Jarmusch movie where they get on the plane to Hungary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, which one is that?
Hungary. Stranger Than Paradise?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I meant Thailand. It's Thailand's problem now. Bangkok. Thailand.
Exactly. Just put him there. Freddy Krueger could follow him, too. I'm sure Freddy Krueger would love it in Thailand.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a great point.
Oh, my God. It's like Christmas every day. What an industry.
You're right.
But it's like how Nevada gets rid of their homeless population. Put them on a bus to San Francisco.
Exactly.
Just get Jason bus fare.
And so the whole thing is, here's the plan. We got to get to Crystal Lake for vague reasons. Jason's home turf.
Yeah, Monica Keen is like, oh, we'll give Jason home field advantage. I don't know. It's a movie, guys. Let's go.
I think it's like we get him there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can go back to Ohio and he's not going to follow us because he's back.
Well, because the whole thing is on top of driving all the way to Crystal Lake, Monica Keen is going to go under and find Freddy in the dream world and take him out.
Sure.
Because she realizes back in that basement, because she falls asleep at one point, and she rips Freddy's ear off and takes it back out into the dream, the real world, which we all know can happen because we've seen other Nightmare on Elm Street
movies. Because anything can happen in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. Well, this actually does happen in quite a few movies. The hat comes back in the first one, for example. But so they're like, okay, I'll go in there. I'll give him a big old bear hug. You wake me up, and then we'll make him fight Jason in the real world where Jason has home field advantage on Crystal Lake. So that's what we're doing.
Oh, don't go to sleep.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Dude, imagine a big Freddy claw just burst out of my chest while recording this podcast.
I would be I'm not. I wouldn't be okay with it.
It would at least be more entertaining than Freddy versus Jason.
Or We Hate Movies.
So yeah, to your point, Eric, this is when they're fighting in a basement, and Freddy like cuts open a water main. And Jason's like, homina, 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 I can't move through this for some reason, homina, homina. All of a sudden, it's kryptonite, which makes zero sense.
And then Freddy's like, say, that's funny. And then, like, makes water go all the way around him. Like, Jason Voorhees will walk through that. I'm sorry. Like,
he's worked in the rain before. We've seen it.
He's had no problem with boats. Like, he's always... If anything, he's an aquatic monster.
Yeah.
Oh, drat, it's raining outside. Well, looks like work's canceled for this evening. I'll sit in my cabin and fuck my mother's skull till morning.
Those rowdy kids are really rubbing it in my face by having a party right outside my cabin.
Skinny dipping in the rain? Well, that's obnoxious. I remember when these kids used to have class. This is ridiculous.
Come on, mother. Let's watch the Weather Channel.
Hoping it stops raining.
Counting the minutes till it stops. Also, is this the scene, is it not, where he plays Jason like a fucking pinball machine?
Whiff, that scene sucks.
Oh, yeah. And you know, dude, it was those extreme screenwriters from Butterfly Effect that was like, oh, wait a second, dude. I got it. He's playing him like a pinball machine. Oh, man. Bravo, Dexter.
Hey, man, why don't we write me in the movie? How about Freeburg? You know? It's like Freebird.
Dude, you're not Jewish. So, yeah, that scene happens. And so then, but like Jason's waking up and, well, he's not waking up. He's being murdered because this is where we get the Jason flashback and we're at Crystal Lake in the 50s and these kids are making fun of him. I mean, it's the thing you've seen 1,000 times.
The best thing is one of the drafts of this script from the ages had Freddy as a camp counselor Crystal Lake and molested Jason.
Yep, because that's...
Ew, and thanks for cutting that out.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to connect characters, and there are ways to not connect characters.
Freddy Begins, the molestation of Jason Voorhees.
Seriously, just like, well, what if he fucked him? What? Like, how much are you getting paid to write this screenplay, and your idea was, what if he fucked him? Well, fuck you, whoever came up with that.
Now that I'm done being a camp counselor, I guess I'll be a janitor a few states over.
Yeah, well, he had to cheese it because the fuzz was onto him.
Oh, yeah, from all the fucking.
Oh, no, it'll be great. We'll get guest director, the guy who directed Mysterious Skin. It's going to be awesome. Ew.
Yeah, no. What a bad idea. I mean, there are bad ideas. Yeah. Like, killer workout in general is a bad idea.
Sure.
But this is a bad idea.
Well, because they never say that Freddy's a child molester because it's too gross. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they
exactly.
never explicitly
He's just a killer.
Say that. Yeah.
He just is a killer.
I
and
really,
it's like, look at these beautiful children.
No, yeah, you get the vibe. You know what's going on.
But that's the thing. We know what's going on.
Yeah,
we don't want it to be like, hey, Jason, come to the woodshed with me. And then it's like, you know, a challenged boy screaming.
And then this in this fight where he's dumping the water all around him is when we get the babality where Jason turns into a baby.
Right, right, yeah.
And he takes off the mask and he's, you know, got his weird head.
And he's just screaming and Freddy's laughing. And then it's like he's trying to drown him in the lake in the dream. And then this is where in the van, Jason, the adult monster, starts like choking on water. And Kelly Rowlands is this close away from giving mouth to mouth to a monster.
Why would you give him mouth to mouth? Electricity doesn't stop him. Bullets don't stop him. He's not going to drown.
Yeah, that's exactly because the whole water thing is bullshit. But they just want to keep Jason alive because Jason is better to have around than Freddy because, you know, Jason, you can go to sleep.
That's true.
You know, I mean, he might murder you, but you can go to
sleep. You ditch him back in Jersey and get the hell out of there before he comes to.
It's like It Follows, right? You got to
just drive really far and leave him.
Yeah.
That's another thing. The last person who fucked the It Follows person, get him on a boat back to Bangkok.
No, the move is... And It Follows. You go, you've got the It Follows. You fly to fucking Las Vegas where prostitution is legal.
Oh, yep.
You have sex. You give that woman, you're not a jerk. You give that woman, like, hey, you go to Japan. You know what I mean? Like, really do it up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you'll drop $4,000, but you'll do all right.
Get someone who's involved in the sex tourism industry.
Yes.
It's a billion-dollar field. They'll figure it out. Keep that demon busy for all time.
And then what you do is you get somebody who's got cancer, right? And you have sex with him. And you're like, hey, look, you ever thought about being an astronaut? And he's like, why, yes, I did. And then he goes in a space shuttle to the moon and dies.
But then if that person dies, it reverts back, though. That's the whole
that's
thing.
Right. No, you need some. Oh, sorry.
Although I do like the idea of launching someone into space for no reason.
Well, you can't do that in America anymore unless you sleep with Richard Branson.
And now that's true.
That's a perfect guy to give the It's Follow demon to.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Oh,
yeah.
Let him.
He's got enough STDs. He won't even notice.
No, yeah. He's just like, oh, what? Another one of those.
Oh, another sex demon trying to kill me. Well, get in line, sex demon.
I'll just go to my sex island, my private island.
Trying to find me there, sex demon.
And it's just a bunch of It Follows running around like it's like, a living.
It's like they're all circling the island.
Yes. Come on, It Follows. Let's play a game of Where's Waldo?
Oh, It Follows, that follows, he follows, she follows. All the demons are after me.
Look out for Donkey Follows. That's a tough one.
This is like a sexual horror Dr. Seuss story.
Which I always thought would be a good idea.
I think it would be a great idea.
One fish, two fish, red fish, nude fish. Yeah, I can see that happening. So anyway, we're on the road to Crystal Lake, and this big fucking monster wakes up.
The van crashes.
This is a severe car accident, by the way, and they get out like it's totally fine. They're like Sam Jackson in Unbreakable, or Bruce Willis in Unbreakable, rather.
Immediately afterwards, Linderman gets thrown into a... just like an exposed stick or whatever and gets killed on that.
Oh, yeah. So we get to Camp Crystal Lake. We run there and they see like Jason like gets up and, you know, runs away or whatever. And they're at the campgrounds and they're in a cabin and they see Jason just walking around like home sweet home, you know, and they're waiting for Monica Keena to wake up and they can't shake her awake. Yeah. She's stuck in the dream because she's like drugged out or whatnot.
This is when we also get like some dream incest, which I don't need in any movie. Like even though it's fake dream incest.
Oh, with the dad.
And he's like making out with her and it just grosses me out.
Oh, my sweet little girl. And I'm like, I don't need it.
No.
There's enough going on.
Yep.
I don't need this dad tongue kissing his daughter. You're not edgy. By the way, wake up. You're not edgy. This movie's not edgy.
Oh, man. What if we have, like, the father try to fuck the, you know.
But he's Freddy Krueger, so it's cool.
Oh, and man. I like where this is going.
Oh, man. We could get away with that.
Also, I happen to have Il Nino's number on my phone. They're going to do the whole soundtrack.
Dude, yeah, call him.
Jeff. That's a great idea. Let's put on some El Nino right now. My pants are big enough to keep 6 CDs in my jeans. So here you go.
The next morning, they wake up and be like, wait, what? Who we? We signed a contract for this guy to do this music? I thought we were just joking around.
El Nino, you were serious? Slash, you know them?
Also, I'm cutting this molestation scene with Freddie Vision.
Oh, man, that's like the whole theme, brother. That brought the whole thing together.
So, whatever, man. Jason breaks into this cabin. Cue the new metal.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Like, when we're getting revved up for a good old Mortal Kombat WWF monster fight, it's always, like, grind that fucking guitar, because it's on now.
Tune your guitar to low C, brother, and just go for it. Oh. Wail, man.
Drop it down, dude. Jason kicks the door in. Everybody theoretically goes wild in the audience.
Freddy shows up, and now they're fighting in the real world, and if you die in the real world, you die for real, I guess. And they fight on some construction. I don't know what kind of construction they're doing on Crystal Lake.
Oh,
they're
making a
bomb factory, apparently.
There's a sign very briefly, and I've seen this movie like 5 times, but I just noticed it last night, where it's like, coming soon, Crystal Lake, outdoor, whatever the fuck. It's like always some stupid sap land developer buys up the property and is going to do something with it. Also featured in the novel I have, the Friday the 13th, Hate, Kill, Repeat, where Jason is stalking some evil Crystal Lake land developers.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, honestly, I mean, that's a bad deal to get. Like, what? Wow, this price is so great for this Crystal Lake. There's a lake involved? Man,
you're telling me I'm buying a whole town for $50,000?
Like, I know we've been mentioning Scooby-Doo a few times, but, like, you could almost, like, pull off the Jason mask, and it's the land developer.
Yes. Oh, my God, that'd be awesome.
Just to drive down the prices.
$50,000. Is that too high? We can go lower. Buy this whole town for a song.
And this is when we get really Tom and Jerry, because, like, Freddie is just throwing all sorts of, like, rebar at him and all sorts of...
He also, like, notices in the one part if he cuts the top off the whatever they are, oxygen tanks that are there for some reason on this construction site. Like, he can launch them like torpedoes, in which he says, load the torpedoes, and he's firing these things at Jason. Jason gets hit with it like a cartoon and flies through the air.
This is really just construction versus Jason.
Seriously, because it's the real world, so Freddy doesn't have... That's what's weird, is in the real world, Jason has supernatural powers.
Yes.
Freddy does not. He's supposed to just be a person.
A burned man with a hand.
Yeah, so he's like...
He's just instantly in pain.
Yeah, that's what I never understood, because those wounds aren't healed.
Get me Solocaine. Get me lots and lots of Solocaine.
Oh my God, this is torture.
Oh, this is what I've been doing to people.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Jason, please, just put the machete on my... Just go for it.
Yeah, just go to town and kill me.
I'll go to hell. I'll figure things out there. I got a standing poker game with Hitler. It's me, Hitler, JFK. We're all good card buddies.
I mean, why would Freddy be afraid of the big sleep?
No, exactly.
He wouldn't. He's been there before, man.
He's a child killer, but he's pretty good at poker.
We got a child killer, we got a lady killer, and we got a... I'll keep that down on the down low.
got a everybody killer.
Hey, Walt Disney, want to sit down? Freddy's back. It's his coming out party.
Hey, Mother Teresa, I know you're cheating. So, by the way, the last 30 minutes of this movie is nothing but the two of them wrestle fighting.
Because that's, I mean, this is the fan service part of it,
it's
I guess.
It's just like throwing Freddy into windows and who cares?
And it's not what I came to either of these franchises for, which is kids getting cut up and fucking. And none of that's happening.
No, but instead, this is, we're at now what is, without a doubt, the lowest point of this movie. Which is Ms. Destiny's Child herself just using a gay slur to toward Freddy Krueger. And, like, supposedly the line is improvised. And
the,
like,
screenwriters came out and they're like, we did not write that. And a lot of people, like, on the cast was like, that's not cool.
It's just astounding to me because it's like, cut it out. Unless you did the same take 50 times and she kept doing it.
Prove me wrong, but I don't think that word shows up in any of the earlier movies of either franchise in the 80s.
I don't entirely know that that's true. I mean, it's the 80s, so...
Right,
you know.
But I think both of these franchises were a little more tasteful than Monster Squad.
Yeah, that's very true.
You're totally right. And we're not
Bill
talking
and
about...
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Dude, in both of those movies, it hits like a fucking thud there, too. And it hits like a thud here. And this is 2003 we're talking about. And she just out and says it. And you're just like...
Well, it is the worst year ever.
I mean, we're talking about... We're having a monster fight. It's fine. Then it turns into Eddie Murphy's Raw all of a sudden. And I'm like, I don't need that shit.
Tell me something. What kind of faggot runs around in a... Christmas sweater.
I don't need track two of Eddie Murphy Raw, okay? That's the one that everybody skips nowadays. Yes. You know?
I could go for Raw versus Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, man. He's wearing that leather suit?
Yeah,
dude,
the leather
suit. He'd be impenetrable to Freddy's blades.
Alternatively, Meteor Man versus Freddy versus Jason.
Get James Earl Jones in there beating the shit out of people.
I like it.
It hits like such a thud. It takes you right out of the movie. And it's like, why? Cut that shit out. Cut it out of your movie.
Do it some other way. Like, it doesn't need to happen. It's not funny. That's the thing. It's supposed, again, like her Columbine line, it's supposed to hit like a joke.
Right, because she's making fun of, you're wearing your Christmas sweater, you know, and then you're like, oh.
To be fair, though, Freddie was a little racist to her in the beginning. He's like,
how sweet, dark.
That's his worst line. This is her worst line.
At least he's the villain, I'll say that.
Like, but also...
Racism versus homophobia coming this fall.
Seriously, but you just... Also, Freddie, like, you've definitely taken down people of all races before.
Exactly.
It's not the first time you've seen a black person.
No.
I remember specifically you had a field day with Larry Fishburne in Dream Warriors.
I'm pretty sure you died in the 20th century.
It's just... It's so unforgivable that it's left in this movie. And it does nothing. It's not like it's a movie about a serial killer going after homophobes. Like, if you're killing the family from American History X, sure, I get it. Throw all of those things at Freddy Krueger.
Oh, man, the dad from Boy Meets World gets it after saying the N-word for no reason.
Oh, man. Daniel Vineyard versus Freddy versus
Jason.
Oh,
man, that would be something.
Freddy gets curbed.
Holy shit. Yeah, you'd put those dumbass sharp teeth of his onto the sidewalk.
Yeah, once he comes into the real world, I don't know. I don't know if Freddy's going to win against this jacked Ed Norton skinhead. He was really tough in that movie.
He was toughest. He's never been that tough before or since.
And Elliot Gould uses this opportunity that he's now being totally distracted. He can finally date Beverly D'Angelo.
Now that the boys and the monsters are fighting, maybe we could go get some ice cream.
Beverly, I'm gonna need 12 guys.
Oh, Ocean's 11 versus Freddy versus Jason.
There it is.
Yes. Yes.
You know that Chinese acrobat's going to be kicking some ass in that movie.
And they're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, George Clooney can dress up nice, somehow schmooze his way to get all the townsfolk out of there so they can have a clean fight.
Oh, and it's all going to be at Andy Garcia's casino. And he's like, you did it again, Ocean's 11.
And then Scott Kahn gets cut in half.
That'd be fun.
Oh, what's his name? Don Cheadle just knocks Jason over with that horrendous accent. Oh, yeah, that would be cool. I'd watch that movie.
I don't know. The end of this movie happens.
It happens,
world's biggest bomb explodes because, again, this is going to be a fireworks factory. And somehow both Jason Ritter and Monica Keena survive this, which I don't know.
It's the old jump in the water.
And it's a classic we have two really good zingers for Monica Keena to say to Jason, to Freddy, before she kills him. So we might as well use them both. Because at first she goes, "Hey, Freddy, go to hell!" And then, like, does something.
Yeah.
And then everybody falls down like a wrestling match and, like, catches their breath for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. You gotta wait to hear it from the crowd until you can stand back up.
And Freddy pops up out of the water, and she's got... and. He gets impaled with his own hand by Jason.
Right.
And she goes, "Welcome to my world, bitch," which is a refrain of what he said.
Right, because he's calling everybody bitch in this movie. He's like fucking Jesse Pinkman. Everybody's a bitch in this movie. But I will say one thing. I mean, this movie looks like shit, sounds like shit, written like shit, acted like shit, directed like shit. I will say the shot of Freddy jumping out of Crystal Lake, and he's like kind of hanging in the air like a Mortal Kombat character.
It's a little Dragon Ball Z for me, but
I'm totally cool with it. I think it's a pretty neat looking shot.
Yeah, it's kind of cool looking.
It's like the red tint all over. Yeah. I mean, yeah, someone's about to Hadouken somebody in the yes. background, I feel.
But you might as well, you know, you might as well introduce Ryu and whatever
else.
Oh
man, Piccolo versus Jason.
I mean, you could throw anything you want in this. Dragon sure. Ball Z, Street Fighter.
Get some Pokemon in there, fucking shit up. Get a Charmander after Freddy.
Yeah. Why is there not a ghost in this?
Oh, good call.
How about a vampire?
Mm-hmm.
A vampire.
Oh, even yeah, get a vampire, not just a vampire. Get yourself an old world vampire to fucking from Carl Theodore Dreyer's vampire to figure it out.
Yeah.
It'd be great if he tried to kill the girl from Ginger Snaps and she turned to a fucking werewolf. Now where are you, Jason?
Yeah.
Now you got a big fat Canadian werewolf coming at you.
Oh, man, and she's just kind hungry of a for your syrupy for, blood.
Yeah, and just a metaphor for menstruation. It's fucked up.
I mean, so, and then here is the final question for this movie, right? Like, how do we end Freddy versus Jason? Who's going to win? Now, here's the thing. The answer is you do what Clue did and you have a bunch of endings.
Yes.
That's not what they did. They decided to, like, just.
Or this happened.
Dude, if Tim Curry's running around explaining who actually won the fight.
Tim Curry as the legend devil.
Oh, yeah.
Running around as Tim Curry in Clue.
As the butler. Oh, man. That's awesome.
Well, it's no, because it's Satan, and you realize the whole movie was Satan telling a story to all his minions. And he's just like, and then Freddy comes and he's like running around.
Freddy and Jason are just his meat puppets. Yes. He's been banging around.
God, that would be great. Instead, it's, yeah, so like, Freddy gets his arm shoved through. At one point, Jason rips the arm off. Then he finds it again and shoves it through. And here's the thing that they do in this movie is really annoying, is they try to like make you feel for Jason as like the boy who was picked on and murdered.
He's the good guy.
Yeah, like the end of the movie is like Jason is sinking down into the water. Monica Keena is looking at him longingly. Yes. Like, shut up.
He's not Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. He's a fucking murderer that's killed hundreds of teenagers at this point.
Get out of here, Jason. Don't you see we don't want you anymore?
He's crying. Jason just walking through the Seattle suburbs alone.
Oh, man, I'm going to shed a tear, actually, thinking about that.
It's so sad. No, well, it's killed hundreds of teenagers.
Hundreds. But it's all because she saw the dumb flashback in the dream sequence. She feels bad for him. You got to understand, that Jason's dead. This is a monster.
I mean,
it's a man monster.
But to be fair, he's a lot less rapey than Freddy, and everyone prefers him to Freddy.
He's all business, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't say shit. He's not trying to make you laugh before he kills you. That's the other thing.
His tongue is guarded by a fucking hockey mask, as it should be.
Yeah. Who are those jokes for, by the way? Freddy, right?
Yeah.
He's not trying to make you laugh before he murders you, right?
Maybe it's Satan. Maybe he's got, like, it's always like, it's kind of Clarissa Explains It All with... with Satan watching it.
That's what it is. That's exactly what this is.
Oh, hey, Jason.
Yes. Yes.
Freddy's nerdy redheaded brother, Chucky.
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Well, that's a good point. The Chucky movies, they kind of laid the path for this, right? Because it was like slashes in the 2000s.
Because they were also garbage.
And they made money, though. I mean, that was the thing.
Yeah, no, it's
the Bride of Chucky horse shit that no one should ever watch.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those latter Chuckster movies.
No.
And I'm fine with it. Hey, believe me, guys, I'm fine with it. So yeah, that's the end of the movie. And it's like, we cut to what's actually another kind of good shot in the movie is like the next morning, Crystal Lake, like the fog's rolling across the water, kind of reminiscent of like Evil Dead, like those shots of the lake at the beginning of Evil Dead. And it's just kind of this nice shot. But then we cut to, you know, boom, 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 boom. And it's like
we're pumping the El Nino.
Yeah, and Jason's walking out, and you're like, oh, Jason lived, man. And then he's holding Freddy's head, and Freddy, you know, winks. And it's
because you almost thought you watched a movie, but then he had to wink and remind you you didn't watch a movie at all.
And all that says is we can't make decisions as storytellers, and we're just a bunch of pussy money-grabbing filmmakers.
Speaking of Evil Dead, do you guys know about that? There's a comic series with Ash.
After this movie, they brought Ash into it.
I do not need the... That's a, like... These two worlds coming together suck enough. I love Evil Dead. Keep it out of
Don't sully another franchise I enjoy watching films from. You know what I mean? By just cramming this shit together. You know? And like, there's all sorts of people that do it. There's the comics. There's fucking fan films out there where all these monsters come together.
I guess there's precedence for the Ash thing because the Necronomicon was in the background of one of the Jason.
Well, I mean,
but like, who cares?
I mean,
it was just a thing.
Just a thing indeed.
There's precedence, you know, so-and-so meets the Wolfman. That's the idea. Like
all the Universal stuff.
Yeah, where's Abbott and Costello
in
this
God,
stuff?
I wish. Or that the it's like Sean Hayes and whatever the hell the rest of the bad Three Stooges are.
Oh, geez. Sean Hayes, the dude who's...
Will Sasso
and the guy, the Greek guy who's on season two of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, nobody cared.
I can't think of his name. He's amazing on Silicon Valley,
though. Great show,
It's a great show. But I hate myself that I don't totally despise that Farrelly Brothers Three Stooges movie.
Get them
wandering around.
Yeah.
Crystal Lake.
Oh, yeah.
These contemporary Three Stooges. That would be kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would anybody recommend this?
No. I mean, it's just watch any of the other movies.
Any of them.
Almost any of them.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
They're separate corners, you two. Honestly, like.
Yes.
They're two. And that's the thing is that. The mood of each movie is totally different. Even with their bad sequels, the mood is totally different. And trying to cram them together is like trying to listen to, you know, Korn and Stone Temple Pilots at the same time.
Yeah, that's a bad mixtape.
Yes, it is.
It's a mixtape nobody wants to listen to.
I'm actually going to say, why not?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, complete the series is, I mean, this is stupid. I kind of agree with your idea of it's not canon.
Right.
It's just like a fan film.
Right.
But
it's a multi-million-dollar fan film.
Which, and I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm not saying it's so bad it's good either, but it's sort of like a watch it. You know, like, I just got to look at this watch it for a minute.
I kind of agree with you. It is a curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it, you know, maybe for our younger listeners out there who. You know, we're five in 2003 or something. I don't know. But like.
Or probably born. I think a lot of young people who were just born listen to the show.
No. Yeah. Either way, like if you haven't seen the movie, you know, I mean, if you're a completist for this horror stuff, like I think you should see it because it's an example of why we shouldn't do things like this. See also those AVP movies.
Oh,
because that's another
Lord.
Piece of shit idea that spawned two piece of shit ideas. How that got a sequel and this didn't. I don't know. I mean, this wasn't a super smash, but it made money.
It's weird. I think that they decided reboots were the way to go, and they just decided to make that gross Jackie Earle Hurley movie. And
that's a bad movie. Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't a super smash, but was it a graveyard smash?
That's Freddy vs. Jason from 2003, directed by Ronnie Yu. If you want to get a hold of us and find out more information about our fine program, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over on the Sideshow Network, which is, of course, sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHMPodcast. Where do you stand with all this horror franchise monster mash business?
You know what? I'm going to put out a poll. Who would you rather have sex with, Freddy versus Jason?
There you go. And why? Don't just answer. I want complete sentences.
Well, yeah, we'll do a poll, but you got to comment on it on the inside.
Yeah, exactly right.
Paint us a picture.
Yeah, a gross one, please.
right into the mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Be sure to catch us this Friday night at the Jacob Burns Film Center. That's October 23rd for the overnight Halloween marathon, where we will watch a bunch of movies, but also riff. On Friday the 13th, 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Eric, are you going to wear your paraphernalia there?
Ooh, ooh boy, which one?
He's talking about your Jason mask.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking your T-shirt there. You got that cool camp, or your sweater, the Camp Crystal Lake T-shirt.
Oh, you know sweater? What? Maybe I'll wear it all. You got to come out and see what I'm wearing. You know, there's going to be a red carpet pre-show.
Yes, there'll be a step and repeat where Eric will be taking pictures in front of.
If you haven't picked up your pass yet, gang, visit burnsfilmcenter.org for ticket information. That is this Friday, October the 23rd. You don't want to miss it. Now, clue for next week's episode, which is indeed the final episode of the 2015 Halloween Spooktacular, Steve Sadak.
The longest running joke in show history, which we have not done an episode.
Ooh, the longest running joke in show history that we have not done an episode on yet.
Which fits in the Spooktacular mode.
Which also fits in the Spooktacular mode. So there you go. By the way, some people that have been guessing episodes for this past month that aren't horror episodes, pay attention, gang.
What are you doing?
It's spooktacular. You got to guess horror movies. So next week, a long-running joke, the longest running, about a film we have not yet addressed on the program. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
Take it easy.
Wait a minute. Freddy died by fire, Jason by water. How can we use that?